Hello, everybody. My name is Larry Jacob. Big self, big self, radio. 2020 show. We appreciate it. We've got our old friends here from the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative, the ESA, over in Hazard, Kentucky. We've done a lot of work with them over the years. I'll introduce everybody. Jeff and Desi have been here before. I think this is Will's first visit. I'm going to find out if my memory's correct on that. And I love doing shows with them. And we got involved with them over at our website, All About Equity and Access, with our magazine over there, etc. The consortium, the American Consortium for Equity and Education over at ace-ed.org. I'll explain more about that in a second, ace-ed.org. And they did some original research along, it's called the RISE, R-I-S-E, little number two, Deeper Learning Project. They did original research, and we published it, and it's over there, over at the website, under research. I'll tell you how to get there in a few minutes. And it was Will who was part of the doing the research. It was all done with the gang over at KVEC. And I just want to mention two gentlemen who are not with us, who were researching. They're alive. They're just not with us today. That was a terrible way to say that. Okay. Dr. Joe Wallace of Campbellsville University in Campbellsville, Kentucky, and Dr. Joe Blackburn from Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi. And both of those people, along with Will, put together the research. So we're going to have a nice conversation on that research about really training for special education, okay, in rural schools, focusing, if I may, on the schools in this part of eastern Kentucky. So it's going to be a really good show, just special education, but we can translate this all the way through, and it's stuff that we are very concerned about with equity, okay, and the equity of learning through ace-ed.org. We do run the consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. It's the acronym is ace-ed, ace-ed, then O-R-G. You can go over there, join up with us. It's free. Everything we do over there is free. We want you to hear your voice, okay, about equity in education. By the way, I might add, now more than ever, these last couple of weeks have peeled away even more of the onion, okay? And we want you working with us. You get a free subscription to the magazine, etc. So please go over to ace-ed.org, see what we're doing over there as an educator, a professional person, or someone interested in education. Join with us. Again, all free, and we'll give you all the details when you go over there, all right? We're also going to archive this show at education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. And without further ado, that's enough of me blabbing. Okay, let me bring on everybody. We're going to start, of course, with ladies first. We're going to have Dr. Desi Bowling. Desi, are you there?
I am, and good morning, Larry. And we appreciate all the work that you all do over there at ACE.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that compliment. Desi is the Associate Director and CFO of KVEC, the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative. And Desi, I have to read this to you. I don't know if you guys saw the sheet I got. I think Will did this. Okay, I'm not sure. But I just want to read. She's been a leader at KVEC for the past 20 years. I got this quacking noise in the background. Desi, it might be your phone. Is it your phone?
I don't think it's mine.
You hear that? You hear that noise?
I did hear it. I sure did. It might be Will. Cool. I don't think that Jeff is able to join us right now.
All
so,
right, we'll find out. Let me go through this, but I have to read this even with the quacking noise. Whoever wrote this to me, and I know Desi, and she's magnificent. Dr. Bowling has been an educator and leader at KVEC for the past 20 years. She is a prolific grant writer who has generated invaluable resources for schools and districts so very much needed in the KVEC service region. And then it ends. She is the leader of leaders and the smartest person at KVEC. Did you write that, Desi?
I didn't write that, but he might be just trying to
I don't know.
To gain time.
We're going to find out, because the next person I'm going to introduce is Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, are you there?
Well, Jeff has had to be in another meeting. He had to step away.
Okay. Sorry about that, Jeff. Whoever wrote this, it might have been Will, said that
it's me.
I was going to introduce Jeff as the Mahatma. because it said here he's a visionary and transcendent leader. I thought he was I'm going to do like the Maharishi. Okay, Jeff Hawkins, who's been here many times, the executive director of KVEC. Will, are you there?
I am. I am, Larry. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. And no quacking on my end. I'm out in our virtual reality studio, and four bars, I'm all clear, but I can hear both of you very well. Thank you so much, sir. And I'm responsible for the notes and the prep sheet that you sent out, and I firmly believe what I wrote because I have experienced that with the two of them over the past 16 years. We have partnered in various capacities, and of course, I've had the privilege of working at KVEC for the past eight years.
Yeah, since 2012, that's Dr. Will Kayat and everybody. So from now on, I want you to only refer to Jeff, okay, as the Mahatma, okay? That's all there is.
Will,
yeah. Okay, the transcendent leader. Will's an educational consultant over there. Has been working with us since 2012, and he kind of is in charge of transition to higher ed for KVEC. This is a great organization, great ESA over there. And the research, let's talk about the research, and I did want to give your co-researchers full credit, and you too, Will. Good job, man. Thank you for letting us have this original research over on our website, again, ace-ed.org. I don't know how to say this, okay? It's RISE 2, Deeper Learning Model. And the RISE, I have this feeling, is an acronym. Is it, Will?
Yes, sir. It stands for Real World Innovations Equal Systemic Enduring Engagement. And
I
can't take any credit for that title. That is something that Jeff and Destin conceptualized with the staff, so I can't take any credit for that title.
RISE, everybody, and I've been trying to figure out the acronym, and it now that you said it, the problem was the word world. I couldn't – that's what threw me off. Real world, R, innovations, I, equals systemic, S, E, enduring engagement. Two E's, hence RISE, little tiny two there. The D, I get it now. Thank you. Will, that helped me a great deal, I got to tell you. Okay? special education, deeper learning. That's amazing. I just missed it. Okay? Special education in rural eastern Kentucky. Okay? Will, is that – let me just focus on that. Was that what you feel that the research was specifically about? Will, I want to stick with you for a minute.
Yes, sir. I was not part of the team that conceptualized the model, but certainly I'm part of the team that supported the overall effort, and Desi, I'm sure, will speak in more detail as to the overarching need that we have in the special education arena in our region, but across the nation, for that matter. And certainly with the advent of lots of new and emerging special education teachers who are in alternate certification programs, they're at a real disadvantage. They're doing their graduate work, and they're trying to assimilate into their teaching role in our schools, and that's a tough lift for them. So we saw a need for those new and emerging teachers in our region, but as is customary historically with KVEC, we also wanted to continue to innovate because our mantra, of course, is that our teachers, our administrators, our learners, leaders, learners, and makers. And so that was an opportunity to provide resources for those transition innovation grants and, of course, the micro-credential development. So when you put all three
we've done a show on that.
It makes for a very special piece of work that happened here in this region of Appalachian Kentucky.
Okay, and what did, if I may ask you, your two colleagues, is Campbellsville right there, Campbellsville University, Will?
They're relatively close. They're south central Kentucky, but we chose Dr. Rocky Wallace from Campbellsville University because we have a history of partnering with him as he worked at other universities in the region, and he is originally from the eastern region of Kentucky. So there was just a longstanding history of partnership work,
cool.
as well as with Dr. Blackburn, who has, although he's a professor emeritus from Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi, he has also been here in Kentucky and worked at universities.
Cool. And I'm glad you guys got together and did this. It's really a beautiful piece of work. Desi, I want to ask you this. Let me swing back to you. And again, tell Jeff I'm sorry he's not here because I do love having him on the show.
Yeah,
okay. You know he's always welcome here. Okay. Desi, I got to ask you something. Will mentioned alternative certification. And if I'm reading this right, I think it means that I'm just going to make this part up. It's an elementary education teacher or a math teacher who decides to go into special ed and doesn't have the proper certification yet. They want to do that because you've got a shortage of teachers. Am I on the right track here?
You are, and that's exactly right. And so that was an area that we saw as a need, and here in Kentucky. The Kentucky Department of Education funds like 9 special education cooperatives across the state. And what they do, there's a special education trained consultants who will work with school districts and to help them meet the needs of their differently abled learners. And that was a term that we decided to use. And so as we've been working in the schools, we've learned that so many of our districts cannot find special education trained teachers, and so
yeah.
we have these people coming from different areas and may not even have a teaching background per se, you know, so they don't have the methods courses. And you've done shows about our fire forging innovation in rural education multiple times, and so the folks at the Kentucky Department of Education have come down to see all the great work that's taking place in our schools. And so they asked us, they said, well, you know, if you had some additional funding, what could you do to target specifically special education teachers and students to make an impact? And so Jeff and I put our heads together and we wrote this proposal, and we really wanted to focus on those three areas, looking at those new and emerging special education teachers, and how could we help them really learn the skills that they needed to make a real impact with special education students. And then we wanted to target specifically, we call them TIG grants, Transitional Innovation Grants. And we were able to do 30 of those, and got some great projects come out of that. And then the micro-credentials. We brought together experienced teachers, special education teachers, and worked with them to create a micro-credential that our new and emerging teachers, special education teachers, could work through and earn badges and earn a micro-credential in different areas that was really targeted to special education.
Right. And what was in there, I'm glad you said that, because there was a part of the research as I was reading it, and I think the gentleman's name is Monty Hill. Hello, Monty. Is it Monty, welding teacher?
It is.
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. And Monty is a welding teacher, okay, so a CTE, educator, career technical ed. All right. And he obviously teaches welding at a high school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And either of you, and you might want to pass it over to Will, I don't know, Desi, but I'll just ask you, all right. His conversation, I thought that little comment that he made in there was really, really important. And if I read it correctly, he's working as a welding teacher with children with special needs, all right?
Yes,
and he learned a lot from this. So just talk about that for a second. I think that's a key thing, because special ed is kids, you know, they have their own special needs, but most of the time they're mainstreamed, if we can do that. Okay, these kids are in a welding class, all right? But the teacher does not know how to do special ed, okay? It's a different kind of kid. Just talk about that, okay? Either Will or – I'll stick with Desi. If you want to hand it to Will, you can.
Will, and so what we did is we put an application, it was an application process, and what we wanted to do, because we'd already gotten some really good feedback through our Building It Forward, our tiny house program, and I believe that we've talked about that before on your show.
We did.
We have students who are building tiny homes, and then they're auctioned off, and so this is a sustainable program in the schools. So what we decided to do here, now that Weldon teacher does not have a special education background.
Exactly.
And so for this, we paired special education teachers, and the special education teacher, Lisa Ammerman, worked with Monty Hill, as well as some of the other folks there in that area technology center. And so she was the special ed teacher, and then Monty taught the welding class. And I'll share one of the things that we had to do because of the COVID. We could not have our face-to-face fire summit this year. So we have done a virtual fire summit.
Yeah.
And it's all on the holler. And what we did was to have those teachers.
So wait, tell people what the holler is. I know, but you tell people what you mean when you say the holler.
Well, the holler, THEHOLLER.org, is our learning management platform. And that's where we have a whole plethora of resources that teachers and students can use. And it's free. Any of the listeners in your listening area can log in at the holler and take a look at the resources there and to get ideas. And so all of this work is housed on the holler as well. And I'll share one thing from Monty and Lisa. She talked about how that these kids would come to her and they would talk about the experiences that they were learning in the welding classes and also in the tiny house because this is at the same place, and what the skills, the hands-on. And she said they were just bubbling over. And so when she then worked with them on math and some other things, they could conceptualize that in their minds because of the teachers, the CTE teachers, sessions that they would have during that time. And so it was a great, great partnership.
It sure is, breaking down those silos. And Monty's reaction, Monty again, the welding instructor, the welding teacher, okay, he learned a lot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this all sunk in him. This is a really good project. Just let me swing back to Will. Will, you guys are running these programs, all right? But correct me if I'm wrong here, the programs were they created at the same time you decided to do the research, or were they already running and you decided to do the research to see if there were? Will, Dr. Kayat?
Yes, sir. Last summer.
You know, Will, this is the first time you've been on the show. Will, you've been the first time you've been on the show.
It is. Give me.
Okay. One of the rules, you can't. I know it's a Southern thing. You can't call me sir. You have to call me Larry.
I was telling Dr. Bowling this morning before showtime that I was absolutely terrified. So thanks, you've made me feel very comfortable, at ease, and I will share the timeline of how the conceptualization for this project, as well as the corresponding research, materialized. Basically, it all happened concurrently. So last summer, as it was being conceptualized by Drs. Hawkins and Bowling, they reached out to me and Dr. Wallace and Dr. Blackburn and asked us if we would follow this project throughout the year. So that's what we did. We were on board from the very beginning, gathering data, attending trainings, and we spent a ton of time out in the field over the course of the year doing observations and interviews of teachers. The number is about 40 teachers of the 105 that participated. So that's a pretty healthy sampling.
Terrific.
To be sure.
It's terrific.
And so, yeah. Yes, sir. We followed them all year long. And then after their capstone experience, our Fire Summit, Forging Innovation in Rural Education, we sent out a quantitative survey to get feedback, and that's how we got more findings on how they perceive their experience in the RISE 2 project.
And, you know, I got to say something. You said a word, Will, that is so important, and I hope more and more school districts, and I just had a conversation with a couple of superintendents about this. The word you said was data, okay? And we have a lot of data out there, but a lot of times we just don't pay attention to it, okay? We all know that. We're all guilty of it, okay? And more and more, I was talking to the superintendent in Ithaca yesterday, Louvell Brown, and Louvell was saying how they base all their social emotional PD and all that sort of stuff on data, and they check it all the time to make sure the school culture is healthy in Ithaca, New York. Okay, we got into a little conversation about use of data, which is not enough. I am thrilled. Okay, and we'll talk about the data part of it as opposed to the against the anecdotal part of it. I mean, Desi could have gone out over the course of the year and talked to 75 of the 105 teachers and gotten a report, but that's not the same thing. It has to be professionally done, okay, because obviously we all bring biases in, et cetera. We'll talk about the importance of data. You ran this thing.
Well, there are two data sets, Larry. We have a qualitative as well as a quantitative data set. The qualitative, of course, was captured from the observations and interviews in the field over the course of the year, which included themes such as real-world life skills training for students, greater overall student engagement, micro-credential development germane to the professional development needs of individual schools, and real-time professional learning for new and emerging special educators. So those are the overarching themes that we culled from the qualitative data that we collected over the course of the year. Moving to the quantitative data, I'll just give you a summary without drilling down too deeply. The vast majority of the participants rated their satisfaction with the RISE 2 project as being positive or very positive, and most participants felt that it helped them improve their instructional, administrative, and leadership skills, and most importantly, they would recommend it to other teachers and administrators. That's the most significant data finding, because that speaks volumes to the quality of the experience that they had through their professional learning as participants in the RISE 2 project by KBEC.
And Will, let me ask you, how do you, if I may, and this is a question that a lot of people ask, and again, you're an expert in this, how do you go about guaranteeing that their answers are the objective answer, the way they really feel? Were there anonymous reports that came in, et cetera? So they weren't just saying what you wanted to hear. That's what I'm going after. And I know you've built that in, but can you talk about that?
Yes, sir. They were anonymous. And I firmly believe that the rapport that we have, because we've been so hands-on as an educational cooperative historically for many years, the rapport we have with our teachers and administrators in our service region is such that if they're not happy with what they're experiencing, they're going to let us know, certainly even more so if it's anonymous. And just this past September, I was part of a training that we hosted for our special ed teachers, and teachers came up to me and said, "Will, this was not good. Don't do it again."
No.
So they're not shy about
good.
Telling us how
good.
Well, and you know, their time is valuable, and we certainly appreciate and value their time. And so that's the rapport that we have with the teachers in our service region. They'll let us know.
And I hope they will, and you want them to let you know, by the way. I might add that. And the reason I was asking, again, I want to talk about the importance of data, okay? It's just so darn important, okay? And we can build a better educational system always if we use it. And too few educators are trained in the use of it, which brings me back to Desi. Desi, you have the results now of the research based on the programs you created. Okay, what happens now? Jesse.
Well, and that was one of – okay, can you hear me, Larry?
I can.
Okay. And so, well, that was one of the reasons that we chose this Will and the other two gentlemen to have somebody mm-hmm. in Campbellsville and then in Mississippi, because we wanted to see, you know, we had an idea that this would work. And so when we have that data that's out there and in our rural areas across this nation are more alike than they are different. And so I think that this research validates that if we want to get teachers and all teachers in a school system working together to benefit all children and to provide equitable learning experiences, then, you know, a project like this is what we need to do. And this kind of work, and it needs to become the way we do things around here. It just needs to be have that culture. And so what we want to do is to, through this work, to show and demonstrate how that we can really engage kids and have a whole generation of smart and excited young learners in schools.
Yeah.
And then as they go through, you know, they'll have that impact. But this is one of the things, and I'll share this as well, another experience that that just stood out for me in this work and in listening to the special education teachers and the for the lack of a better word, the regular education teachers, when they come together and done these projects together, the behavior of the students changed. And so it just validates the same point that when students are engaged in the learning and they're actually learning, then we don't have this behavior issue. But I can only imagine if I were sitting in a Spanish class for an hour and didn't understand what was going on, I might act out too, you know. So if, you know, students need to be successful, and they were successful in these projects because these were projects that the teachers' schools developed and submitted in an application. It wasn't us going in and say, you have to do this, 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 this in order to be awarded this TIG grant or to do a micro-credential. They sat down and they worked together and looked at how they could improve the learning for these special needs students. And how do you work together? And I'll share one other thing, too, and then Will can share some more. But one of the things that the special ed teachers going in and working with regular ed teachers, then that caused them to work together as a team. And it wasn't, well, those are your students and these are ours. But it brought those students together, too. And when you went into those classrooms, you couldn't pick out which one was the regular ed student and which one was the special needs student, because they all had their heads together and their hands together, working together toward that common goal. And so that's what we really want, I think, as educators, and to see our kids be successful and all working toward a common goal. And as my dad used to say, everybody pulling in the same direction. And
that's
so,
right, everybody pulling in the same direction. Dad was right. Yeah. That's what we don't need people rowing the boat and with different swings than yours. That's for darn sure. What grades were we talking about here? Were we talking about K-12 or were we talking about 9-12? Who did you focus on? Will, I'll ask you. Who was the focus, if there was one?
Well, the teachers and staff, and there were staff involved too in these cadres.
Oh, thank you.
Thirds of them were at the secondary level.
Okay.
And a third were primary level. So we had a mixture, a good healthy mixture. And of course, Dr. Bowling mentioned the partnerships between special educators and core content educators, and that's really significant, because I shouldn't take full credit for it, we tease that out through the literature review that they have different cultures, so for them to work in a partnership on these kinds of projects was really significant, And the other significant piece I don't want to forget to mention very quickly was that Dr. Joe Blackburn, who has extensive experience working in school districts, particularly Mississippi, this was borne out in the literature review. What was very significant about our work is that it was extended into an entire region. It wasn't reactive. It wasn't state or federally mandated. Versus when you look at the literature review over the past 5 to 10 years, typically you'll see significant improvements in educator outcomes, student performance, achievement, success, et cetera. Typically, it's limited to a school district or just a few school districts, whereas the RISE 2 project was region-wide, and given our number of districts, we're already larger than the size of the state of Connecticut as a service region.
There you go. That is very significant. How many districts are in there? That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Poor Connecticut. Let's talk. Much bigger than Rhode Island. Let's talk. How many districts are we talking about? Or how big an area? However you want to describe that. Will.
We have 23 member districts, over 150 schools, over 50,000 students, and over 5,000 teachers and administrators that we serve in Appalachian, Kentucky.
Wow. Wow. And by the way, note the pronunciation, everybody, not Appalachian. I used to pronounce it like that. I have learned from KVEC, Appalachian, okay? I have done that, okay? I have also learned what a holler is, just in case. I've always like to bring this up. It might have been Desi who taught me, or Jeff, okay, that a holler is a valley one way in, same way out. That's a holler.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's correct.
I didn't know that, okay? I always knew the word, but I didn't know what it really meant. It's really something. Yeah, I want to ask you something. I'm going to use Mr. Hill as an example, the welding teacher again. What was it that do you think? I don't know if we can get into the psychology of it. I don't mean to psychoanalyze the gentleman. I don't even know him, but obviously he's the kind of guy who cares about kids, okay? And he wanted to help the special ed kids. What was it that prompted the regular teachers to get so involved in this? Desi, what do you think it was? I think it's great. You don't hear about that often. Okay, here's something you're offering, and it's going to help specifically the special ed kids for the non-special ed teachers. Well, what motivates somebody to do this? That's a nice thing.
Well, I think for Mr. Hill, he had probably
already using him. Monty, I'm sorry, I don't know you, but I think the world of you. So go ahead.
Well, in the CTE classes, they would always have just a few in their classrooms.
Yes.
But this really targeted the special needs students, and it brought the special needs student teacher to come work. And so I think they learned together and just learning from each other on how they could really help those students. And sometimes just bringing them together helps. And I think that when Mr. Hill, he really was able to feel good about what he was teaching those kids and recognizing the value that he brought to their life. I think we get so busy in our teaching daily schedule and trying to do everything that we do that sometimes we just feel like that we're just there. But to have these students go back and talk about the value that being in his class and how he taught them enabled them to learn better in their other subjects, and that really touched him, I believe. And then just to see that the level of work that these students would do, that they were there. And sometimes, you have a project that needs to be done. Well, they would go back after school. Sometimes they'll be there on Saturday. And then not only that, but it also brought in that parent connection, because one of the administrators told me that a parent called and said, you know, my son wants to be involved in this welding project and wants to do this work, and he's not getting enough time over there. And so it was the DPP, actually, and he said, well, you know, if you look at all the pictures that they're taking, your son, you know, Joe's in every one of these pictures. And she said, well, I just want you to know that he loves it. And so it brought that parent support as well.
Yep.
And I'll say one more thing about, you know, sometimes our CTE classes are kind of seen, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but they're kind of seen as and maybe a dumping ground is what we always called it back
in
the day.
Oh, no.
Back in the day,
not anymore.
Students who are truant and who, you know, may not get along well in class, but whenever we were able to show them the good work taking place, our CTE classes have risen up. And one young man said, you know how our athletes walk down the hall now with swag? Well, I'm a maker, so I walk down the hall with swag
now. There you go.
And so, you know, it built their self-esteem, and I think that it just improved the culture of the schools overall, because they all felt like they were a team, and that's what I think.
And we have a true measure of it. And by the way, talking about real-world skills, which is built into the RISE program, without the W, I learned that earlier today, okay? All right, but real-world skills, you know, these kids can learn welding. Well, welders make a lot of money. It's a profession where they need more people. They need more good ones, and it's an absolutely superb occupation, all right? So I don't want to make light of anything in CTE. That is STEM, and that is good stuff.
Not.
Yeah, I mean, the measuring the type of kids, it's just so important, you know. It's good stuff.
And I'll share one other thing is that these students learned about that. They're the professions that they were now have the skills to go into, high-paid skills that they are learning, high-paid jobs. And not only that, but the problem-solving. The level of confidence that they have now.
But these kids are learning real-world skills.
Yeah.
Carpenters and plumbers and all that sort, all those type of wonderful workers. And, of course, they come to my house and work. If I put together a toilet, I'd flush the toilets and leg would go out in Cleveland. Mm. I mean, that's how bad it is, okay? And, you know, but but when I watch a plumber tradesman, so to speak, work, okay, and see the STEM that's going in there, and they deserve every dollar they make, and they make good dollars. It's good stuff. Again, real world skills, and the more we get I'll just use CTA as an example. We get the CTE and CTE educators involved, okay, with the special ed kids. The more successful, as you were just saying, the special ed kids are going to be. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. You want to sum it up, Dr. Keaton?
I
can.
Please. I am. It was a wonderful experience. It is very rewarding to see the esprit de corps on the part of our teachers and students.
Yeah.
And I'm just privileged to be a part of this great organization. So it was a terrific experience, and with the data. We broke it out by great bands and years of experience. So it was very, very comprehensive and telling. So the data does not lie. This was great.
The data does not lie. Thank you. You're right. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say something else about this. I want to say this again. KVEC, Kentucky Valley Educational Co-op, is an ESA, an educational service agency. And I always say that's the hidden part of education. For a lot of people, what you guys showed was the power of ESAs, which I work a lot with AESA, the national organization, Joan Wade over there. I mean, the power of an ESA to get something done, get the research out there, and impact, let me say it again, 23 districts. Okay? Congratulations, KVEC, you did it again.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. I mean, you're just terrific. We got to go. Desi, thanks a million, as always, for everything you do.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, and by the way, And Will, thank you. I mean, what you did, it's great to know you, my friend. I'm glad you came on the show. You did great, by the way. Thank you. I hope it wasn't a terrifying experience for you. I hope it was an enjoyable one. Will?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, sir. I hope it was. You're welcome here anytime. And just one last question. I got about a minute left. I'll just throw this to Desi. Desi, what are you hearing? How's school going, considering it's all remote now? What are you hearing, just real quick?
Well, they've given, here in Kentucky, they've given them a couple of options, and I'm looking at how to start school, but
yeah.
You know, following those some guidelines for kids to wear a mask and distance themselves, and I just think it's going to be a rough start, but we need to start preparing now for so that we can really help the kids and the parents as we move forward and not be caught up short whenever we in August, whenever we start back. We need to think about it and work together to come up with a solution and really reach out to the parents and to the communities to see and find out their thoughts on it, too.
Yeah,
so,
you got the brains. You got the brain power of 23 districts, okay? You can really help them. They don't each reinvent the wheel, okay? You can really, really help them. It's been rough the last 8 weeks, but, boy, education did the very best we could, okay? We built a plane while it was going down the runway, okay?
It may not
fly all the way to Europe, but it's going to get there, okay? It's that simple. Thank you both, okay? Have a great summer.
Thank you.
Okay,
too.
Thank
bye
you
bye.
For everything. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye. That's Will Kayaden, okay, and Desi Bowling. We're going to have Jeff here, too, Jeff Hawkins, the Mahatma, okay? And Desi, the smartest person at KVEC, okay, and Will, too. I think you're second smartest, or third, anyway, Will. I got to put Jeff in there somewhere, okay? Great stuff. The research is over at ace-ed.org. Just go over to our website over there, and you will see. I'm going to get you there in just a second. I had it in my head. Go with the icon that says News and Resources. Click on that at ace-ed.org, and then just scroll down to Research. Click on that, and it'll take you right there to the research. Okay? ace-ed.org, that's the Consortium for Equity in Education. Then News and Resources. Then go down to Research. Okay? And you'll see it all there. Thank you for letting us have the honor of putting this out there for the world to see. We do appreciate it, okay? We really do. We're working hard for equity, okay? Boy, we need it now more than ever. So please, okay, everybody, everything we do over there is free. We want your voice, ace-ed.org. We're going to archive this show at education-talkradio.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening, and have a great day. Stay safe.